It's not a big agency, but it's an influential one. The Federal Communications Commission has been mired in controversy over its net neutrality policy for the past 8 years. Now, President Trump has nominated as chairman Ajit Pai, a commissioner who has long opposed net neutrality. For what this might mean for the agency, we turn to communications attorney Alan Tillis, a partner at Shulman Rogers. Alan, good to have you on.
Thank you very much.
This is a, if this happens, if he gets confirmed and if they reverse net neutrality, this would be the second 180-degree turn for the agency in a few years. What does that do to an agency, first of all, when you're dealing with it and you have to deal with staff?
Well, remember, any of these agencies are made up partly of appointees and partly of career employees. And for the career employees, unfortunately, you get used to it after a period of time. That doesn't necessarily mean it's something you enjoy. It can be very difficult depending on the 180 that you've been asked to do. In the past, within the FCC, there was a lot of autonomy within the various departments, the various bureaus on most matters. It was only the really big picture matters that really only resided at the commissioner's level. But now, a couple of administrations ago, that was really centralized to the point where most things are now handled at a commissioner level, which is not always great for the morale of the underlying employees who have been there for decades.
Because a lot of them have a great deal of technical knowledge about matters that the commissioners may or may not.
And that's always the problem when you get new commissioners. Not that they aren't great people or turn out to be fantastic commissioners at the end of the day, but usually there's a very steep learning curve in the telecom area because generally, not always, but generally, you wind up with people as commissioners who have expertise in one area of telecom, but it is such a wide area under the jurisdiction of the FCC, they can't possibly know all of the various areas. So there's a very steep learning curve. So anytime you have a change of administration at the FCC and changing of commissioners, there is a slowdown in certain areas of work while we re-educate them.
Let's review for a moment net neutrality, what exactly it is, because frankly, few people heard of it until the Obama administration proposed it. And then it was a big political fight. And a lot of people thought that what was, should have been an independent agency under Tom Wheeler was kind of arm twisted into this whole net neutrality policy. What is it and how did it come about?
So at a very high level, think of it as the ability of your cable internet provider to allow certain providers of content to have faster or prioritized access to your system over others. And net neutrality takes that away and really treats all content providers as equal. It treats the internet provider itself as more of a bus system, if you will, where all passengers are allowed on.
But then don't the customers that have 500 passengers on 10 buses pay the same thing as the guy who gets on the bus alone once a week?
That's correct. And if you have, in the absence of net neutrality, it gives the cable service provider the ability to charge more for certain types of traffic to go through. And that can either be because of the particular type of content or whether you like one content provider more than the other, or very importantly, if it is the type of content that takes up a lot of bandwidth on the internet provider's system. If you're a cable provider, you might want to have certain types of content, let's say video, have a lower priority than email or vice versa, depending on what you want to do. And you can charge those bandwidth hogs, if you will, a higher fee to get through with that higher priority.
We're speaking with Alan Tillis, a partner at the law firm Shulman Rogers, Gandahl, Porty & Ecker. So it sounds like this was originally a fight between, say, Verizon, AT&T, and Google and its ilk.
And Netflix.
Couldn't they, well, without getting too deep into the policy, good or bad, if this should reverse and net neutrality goes away, how would that affect the FCC and how would that affect the people that deal with the FCC from the outside?
I think it represents, well, I think it's more a problem or a change for the outside of the FCC. Within the FCC, it's more of a different way of doing policy and a different way of regulating. The regulators can adapt to those changes in policy. We do it all the time. As I said, every time there's a change of administration, there's a change in philosophy, and we're all used to adapting to that.
And people from the outside, though, I mean, there's a lot of talk, pro and con, whether to go away from net neutrality. I wonder if the average citizen could tell the difference one way or the other.
Part of the problem is you have a lot of misinformation as to, you know, what it actually means at the end of the day. I believe that if you have net neutrality, the average person at home would not notice the difference because all content is treated the same. But if you do have net neutrality go away, there will be a difference. Now, is it a difference that the average consumer may be willing to accept and adjust to? Well, we do it on airlines where you now have some of the airlines offering a charging for every little thing, and the consumer is adapting to this new norm of the very, very, very basic service where you can't bring an overhead, a piece of luggage to put in the overhead bin on some airlines. We adjust. And is that a good idea when it comes to content? Possibly not when you are talking about certain types of content that perhaps leans more one way than the other politically or factually.
Well, I guess that's something we just would have to wait and see. Looking at Ajit Pai, again, let's presume for a moment that he's nominated. What do you think are the other big issues in the FCC that could change besides net neutrality as a result of the change in administration?
There will be a huge difference with regard to the executive order that the president signed the other day with regard to eliminating two regulations for every one new one you implement. And the FCC over the years has, every couple of years, had to go through their rules and eliminate those that are old and should be eliminated. And I don't mean to suggest that there isn't a list of those that many of us would like to see go away, but that's going to be a really hard, difficult chore for the commission to handle, particularly when it's kind of unclear whether the two you eliminate have to be in the same area of the one you adopt. So maybe you adopt a rule, let's say in the new norm from net neutrality, whatever that happens to be, and now you eliminate two rules in an entirely different area, say amateur radio service or something? Or does it have to be something that's related to net neutrality? So a lot of questions will have to be answered. And that will very much change the way the FCC does business in their pending rulemakings.
I guess that's probably true of almost every agency at this point that does issue rules.
Absolutely. And different agencies have different processes in going through rulemakings. But, you know, if you look at how long a typical FCC rulemaking takes, it can take 1 year on the short side. And I just had a set of rules adopted that I proposed to the FCC over 4 years ago. So you're really looking at something going to have a very, very long-term effect.
Alan Tillis is a partner at the law firm Shulman, Rogers, Gandahl, Porty & Ecker. As always, thanks so much.
Thank you.